There had been many extraordinary events,
but I couldn't be seen to visit Jesus openly. Think of the headlines. Cabinet minister seeks miracle maker to sort out the mess. No, it would never do. The prime minister would not be happy. My colleagues would laugh and reach for their knives. The party would be appalled. What a fool. If they could have seen me, a respected, much honoured member of the establishment, scouting around London at night, trying to find him among an unsavoury crowd, overcoming a lifetime's prejudice, upbringing and way of life, to see a fundamentalist preacher. But there was something missing in my life. I'm a curious soul, a great reader, books spilling all over the place, but I could only read so many in my life. If I read one a month, that would leave just 200. My chances of enlightenment were fading. I'd also read the scriptures in several translations. But there were things I couldn't understand. So many interpretations. Who was telling the truth? I like to think I was a good man. I came from a long, respectable family. I tried to do the right thing. Please everybody, keep the rules, meet the moral demands, make sacrifices in the service of mankind. If heaven was in my power, I thought I deserved a piece of it. But I couldn't change my inner life, which no one else could see. The harder I tried, the more I fell short. I was afraid of reaching the end of my life and finding I'd completely missed the point. A total waste. So I came to Jesus in the darkness, hoping to find some light. He was surrounded by seedy companions. I hesitated. It was a bad idea. I wanted to talk in private, uninterrupted. He felt my embarrassment. He took me to a private room. We talked for a long time. At cross purposes at first, we were on different planets. He talked about my need to be born again. What did that mean? It seemed I was doomed to inquire fruitlessly for the rest of my life. But as we talked, I felt his gaze. He saw my inner self without pretense and still loved me more than anyone has done. As I felt his forgiveness, a mysterious wind began to sweep away everything I'd done to earn God's approval. A lifetime's knowledge and good deeds and sacrifices. All I had to do was come as I was, a baby, naked, with empty hands, contributing nothing but my sinfulness. New birth was in his gift, and it blew like the wind freely in a time and at a way of his own choosing. And now he wanted to give himself to me. What I had to do was believe. I was on the brink of a new world. I trembled. Was this man the answer to my long search? Was I prepared for the cost? We argued. I couldn't understand, and he rebuked me. There was too much to absorb. Didn't all happen that night. We had more discussions, but it was no longer an intellectual mystery. I had to decide what to do with my life, to to experience rather than analyze. Cars have to be driven. You can't just tinker with the engine. So that night, I began to slip into the passenger seat and let Jesus release the handbrake. I felt a great relief, as if someone had saved me. I didn't know where I was going or what I'd be doing. I just had to trust. It was a simple, humbling thing, one of God's little miracles, like becoming a child all over again. Born again, the headlines might read. Suddenly, I didn't care. I treasured his words. I felt privileged he first spoke them to me. I slowly became an open believer. I stood up for him in cabinet amid hostile comment. And later, I brought 100 pounds weight of myrrh and aloes to his tomb. They weren't needed long, for he was the Lord of new life.